Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. It's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM. And 7:50 a.m., I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive, and there is so much to talk about today. There's a specific topic I've wanted to get into all week long, and you know, some days an hour is just not enough. And so we haven't had time. Cooperstown, Hall of Fame. We had the first unanimous selection ever with Mariano Rivera earlier this week, and I've made this point multiple times on the show. We never had the discussion, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer or not? Because in my mind, you're a Hall of Famer or you're not. Now, some guys don't get in on the first ballot because some years are more packed than the others. I get that, but I hate the argument of is he a first ballot Hall of Famer or not. Mariano Rivera, to me, has every right to go into the Hall of Fame, and I believe he has every right to go in unanimously. However, the problem I have had with the Hall of Fame voting is that there are several players that deserved to get in unanimously, and I believe that a couple of writers purposely did not vote for them to keep the talk going, right? Because it needs to be rare error. You know, that 100%, that had to be rare. Ken Griffey Jr., we had three writers that did not vote for Griffey. Ridiculous. We had five writers that did not vote for Tom Seaver. Ridiculous. Six didn't vote for Nolan Ryan. We had eight that didn't vote for Cal Ripken. Four didn't vote for Ty Cobb. And there's a term I use quite often, old man baseball. There are a couple of writers that fall in the category of old man baseball. They weren't going to vote for Ken Griffey Jr. out of principle, knowing that he was going to get in, and they were going to make sure it wasn't unanimous. To me, that's insane. I hate that. I hate that has happened, and it has happened. So we will discuss that a little bit later on in the show, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. To me, you can connect the dots to the Heisman Trophy. There are writers out there, and I know multiple Heisman voters, that refuse to vote for a defensive player who does not touch the ball on special teams. Charles Woodson was an exception. He returned punts. The Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, is an exception. And Ndamukong Suh dominated. Ndamukong Suh wasn't winning the Heisman. Manti Te'o should have been the Heisman. They weren't going to vote for him. They were going to vote for a freshman quarterback before they voted for a linebacker. Right? There are certain writers out there that think that highly of themselves. And I think that that has plagued baseball and the unanimous decision. It's over now. Mariano Rivera got it, and I believe Derek Jeter will get it as well. I do. I think now that it's gone and we're not talking about it anymore, I think that we're going to see it more frequently, especially in this era. So we will talk a little baseball later on in the show. A lot is happening right now on the local sports front. I got to throw this out there right now. Congratulations to the Emory High School swim squad. Both the boys and the girls dominate in the pool yesterday. Region 15 champions once again. They did that at the Emory County Aquatic Center. Full recap of what happened for both the boys and the girls at CastleCountryRadio.com. Go check that out. And also congratulations to the Carbon Lady Dino Swim Squad. They are Region 14 champs. We have a write-up on that as well with a picture at CastleCountryRadio.com. So please go take a look at that. Congratulations to both swim squads. Tonight here on KOAL, the Emory Spartan boys basketball team will return to the court. They have a massive game against the Richfield Wildcats. A Region 15 championship, it's still very much possible for Emory High School. They got to get a win tonight. It's a must win from here on out. But if Emory can get a victory tonight, they put themselves back in the conversation. They're just a game behind Richfield, who is tied for first place in the region. Live coverage tonight will begin at 6:30 p.m. I'll be joined by Scott Labrum as we bring you the play-by-play call. That's coming up tonight. And then on our sister station, Carbon High will take on Providence Hall. That's KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Let's take a look at the national sports headlines. We've spent a lot of time talking about the NBA trade deadline, and now there's some rumors starting to float around Los Angeles. The Lakers are prioritizing adding a second star before the deadline. Now, remember, the trade deadline has been pushed up to February 7th this year. It's before the All-Star game. Right now, if the playoffs were to begin, the Lakers would not be in. A lot of that has to do with the injury problems. I think this is a top four team of the Western Conference when LeBron James is healthy, because LeBron James is that damn good. Outside of that, the Lakers have some issues. According to The Athletic's Bill Oram, the Lakers are exploring two types of deals. A trade that will solidify the team's roster and increase its chances of getting to the playoffs, and the second superstar to team up with LeBron James. The Lakers are also in the market for a perimeter shooter on an expiring contract because the Lakers are 29th in three-point shooting. Oram also noted that LA is open to trading the likes of Brandon Ingram, I would say sayonara, Lonzo Ball, I think he's a legitimate star in the league, Kyle Kuzma, I think he's a scorer, that's it, does not play any defense at all. To me, out of those three, Lonzo Ball has the most value, and it's not even close in my mind. I've never bought into the Brandon Ingram hype. Lonzo Ball's a two-way player that gets the job done. Kyle Kuzma, I think he's going to be a great scorer in this league. I'm not going to call him an elite scorer. I think he's going to be a good scorer. Doesn't play like a defense. The team also has interest in getting rid of Lance Stephenson, Michael Beasley, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That is no secret. As far as everything goes with this team, look, the Lakers have the assets. Now, while I'm saying I'm not a big Brandon Ingram guy, I don't think he's that guy in LA. And what I mean is, I don't think he's a superstar. I think he's a great player with talent around him. 6'10", versatile, he can play the point guard at times. He's unique if you put him on a team with the proper pieces. LA doesn't have the proper pieces. Lonzo Ball, I think he makes every team better. I think just the way that guy plays, he makes every team better. And Kyle Kuzma, look, if you're the New Orleans Pelicans, I'm taking those three over anything anyone else can offer me if I have to trade Anthony Davis. Will the Pelicans do that? I don't know. But I think at some point the Lakers have to become the odds-on favorite for Anthony Davis, and I think they know this, and I don't think the Lakers would move either of those three knowing that a trade this offseason is very possible in grabbing Anthony Davis. It's a storyline, though, to watch as we inch a little bit closer to the trade deadline. We'll take a look at some of the other news. Let's move to the NFL. Cody Parkey's time in Chicago was done. Less than a month after his block kick cost the Bears a chance at moving on to the divisional round, it's said that the Bears are going to work out 6 to 7 kickers, including Nick Folk, today. Now, Parkey missed that potential game-winning field goal. We've had to hear a lot about it. I think Cody Parkey's made some bad decisions since. He's gone on national TV to try to defend himself. Chicago paid Parkey a lot of money this offseason. They would have to carry $4.4 million in dead salary if they get rid of him. Is it worth it for a kicker? People in Chicago would say, yes, get rid of this guy. Let's take a look at the schedule tonight in the NBA. Full slate of games, and it all begins in the 5 o'clock hour tonight. We get Washington on the road to take on Orlando. Brooklyn will play host to New York at 5:30, and also Miami at Cleveland. 6 o'clock hour tonight, the Clippers at Chicago. The Raptors will travel to beat the Rockets. This game is on ESPN at 6. Also Sacramento at Memphis. Dallas will welcome in Detroit. And then we get Charlotte at Milwaukee. Two games in the 7 o'clock hour tonight. Phoenix at Denver. And Minnesota will take on the Utah Jazz. We've got a break for just a moment. Coming up, we're going to talk local basketball tomorrow right here on KOAL. You're going to have USU Eastern basketball. They'll travel on the road to meet Colorado Northwestern. I'll be joined by Travis Anderson. We'll bring you the play-by-play call on that game. Coach Vando and Coach Jones will join us in the studio to talk USU Eastern basketball, plus some baseball Hall of Fame chit-chat when we return. It's a Friday edition of Drive Time Sports, and it's right here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And tonight on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, the Emory Spartan boys basketball team will look for their second consecutive Region 15 win as they travel on the road to take on the Richfield Wildcats. Emory earned an important 5-point win over South Sevier, who was ranked number 1 in 3A on Wednesday night. As it sits right now, the Spartans are tied for third place in Region 15 with the Manti Templars at 5-3, trailing Richfield by one game for second. Live coverage of tonight's contest will begin at 6:30 p.m. with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show. It's there you'll hear from both Coach Todd Jeffs and Emory High School senior Cade Brazier. You can also listen to tonight's action on CastleCountryRadio.com. Now we stick with high school basketball, but we move over to Carbon High. And tonight the Dinos will look for their second consecutive Region 14 win as they play host to Providence Hall on senior night. With four games left in the season, Carbon will close out the final three on the road. The Dinos are looking to build off of a big victory on Wednesday night, a one-point win over the Juab Wasps. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by head coach Kyle Wilson, and he talked about the team's victory.
I talked to my guys before the game. You know, I just tried to give them confidence and let them understand that, you know what, season's not over. It's not even close, you know. Now we're two games into the second half of region, and you know, a lot of winnable games ahead of us. And I had faith in them, and they just got to kind of believe in themselves and each other.
Live coverage of tonight's contest will begin at 6:30 p.m. on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Tip-off is scheduled for 7 p.m. You can also listen to Carbon High School basketball using your KRPX app on your smartphone or by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. We move over to USU Eastern Athletics, and tomorrow both the USU Eastern men and women basketball teams will travel on the road to take on Colorado Northwestern as they continue Scenic West Athletic Conference play. Both teams are looking to rebound from losses on Saturday to Snow College. As it sits right now, the USU Eastern men are sitting at 3-1, while the women are at 2-2. Live coverage of the men's contest will begin tomorrow on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, beginning at 4:30 PM, followed by tip-off at 5. Now we stick with USU Eastern Athletics, and believe it or not, the baseball season will begin today for USU Eastern as they travel to Henderson, Nevada to take on Gateway Community College. This marks the first of four games this weekend for the Eagles. Later on this afternoon, they'll go toe-to-toe with Cochise College at 2:30 p.m. Tomorrow, Arizona Western, and then on Sunday, Central Arizona. Once again, the Eagles are led by manager Scott Madsen. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will recap the results from this weekend on Monday as we continue to follow the USU Eastern Eagles throughout the baseball season. Now, while the USU Eastern baseball team begins this weekend, a new era for USU Eastern softball will also begin today as coach Ryan Smith takes the helm as the Eagles travel to Henderson, Nevada to take on Eastern Arizona College at 2 p.m. It's going to be a very busy weekend for the Lady Eagles softball team. A doubleheader today with the second game against Pima Community College. Tomorrow they'll meet Arizona Western and Yavapai College, and then also Saturday night against Central Arizona. Like the men's baseball team, the Lady Eagles will play the entire month of February on the road before returning home to open up conference play against Snow College on March 1st. You can read a complete season preview for both the men's baseball and the women's softball team at CastleCountryRadio.com. And we end by talking about today's slate on Drive Time Sports. We'll gear up for tomorrow's USU Eastern basketball action as Coach Vando will be a guest inside the Auto Forum studios. That'll be today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports beginning at 4 p.m. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're going to talk more local basketball here on the Coach's Corner. We got a busy couple of days coming up on KOAL. Tonight, big contest. The Emory Spartan boys basketball team will travel on the road to meet the Richfield Wildcats. And then tomorrow, we're going to be on the road in Rangeley, Colorado, as the USU Eastern men's basketball team will take on Colorado Northwestern. USU Eastern right now, they're in a good spot, 3-1 in conference play, looking to rebound from a loss last Saturday at home against Snow College. And joining us right now in the studio to talk a bit about that and tomorrow's contest, we have Coach Vando and Coach Ray Jones Jr. Guys, a pleasure as always to get you in. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
absolutely. It's always fun to talk USU Eastern basketball. Coach Vando, we'll start with you. Saturday, last Saturday, first loss of conference play, falling to Snow College at home, 68-57. I think the most frustrating aspect about this loss was picking up wins over CSI and Salt Lake. So if you beat Snow, you're in the driver's seat the rest of the way in the conference. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out that well.
Yeah, you know, like we had a bad approach, and then we took them for granted, and then we paid the price. We feel good to beat CSI and Slick, and then when we saw CSI, when we saw Snow, I think the guys relaxed a little bit, and if you see, Snow numbers, they play really good. They shot really good from the three-point line. They did what it's supposed to do. And we play like trash. I admit that. And then nobody in our team, played good that night, especially on the defensive end. We could have stopped them. We could have stopped. They penetrate. Our defense kick for open threes, and we give them, 14 offensive rebounds, and we didn't give that to any of, a CSI, even in Salt Lake. So that's, that number shows me that, we play terrible on defense and really, really selfish on offense, since we have, eight assists. That show us that, we play selfish and we save energy to play, on offense, and then we should have, spend energy on defense, and then offense, should be, easier. But we did everything opposite.
You mentioned the eight assists. Tanner had four of them coming off of the bench. And I know you and I did talk about Tanner last week, but it seems his minutes are rising. He's getting more and more of an opportunity out on the court. I think he's making the most of it. I know he didn't shoot the ball particularly well in this game, but I've really had a good time, Coach, watching Tanner play over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's been, earning, more minutes. His role, is changing. Actually, this weekend against CNCC, we're gonna start, five starters. I'm gonna change, some players on, in the lineup, and see what happened. And Tanner is one of the guys that he's gonna start for us, tomorrow when we play CNCC. But I think some other guys, they're playing better. They're earning more minutes, like Tyler Walker, I think, right now, me and Coach Ray, we were talking about, maybe he's our best man, on ball, defender, and he's been playing good, and I'm not talking about Saturday, when we play Snow, but overall, he's been improving. He's been playing good.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Jones and Coach Vando with the USU Eastern men's basketball team. Let's go over to Coach Jones. Coach, we'll talk a bit about the performance on Saturday. From beyond the arc, 4 of 21 from the three-point line. And you even wince when I tell you that right now, 4 of 21 from the three-point line. Tired legs? I mean, is that a testament to it? I don't know, because this team shot the ball so well against Salt Lake. We knocked down some huge shots against CSI. 4 of 21 on the home court. I mean, that looks really bad from downtown. And I think in a game that was close, I mean, an 11-point deficit, or 11-point loss, game was closer than that throughout the majority of the contest. So I'm pointing to that percentage from beyond the arc.
I think Vando just said how selfish we played. That included some of our shot selection. You can miss an open shot and get another really good open shot and knock it down. But if you're shooting one dribble off the pull-up threes, off the pick and roll, after 2 seconds off the shot clock have went down and you miss those add to that number of misses that you have. And we had some very poor shots that we took. So you combine those with some of the feet set ones that we did get, and then all of a sudden, instead of 4 for maybe, 12, 4 for 11, you start getting 4 for 21. But if you make some of those shots that are open, you'll tend to make some more of those shots. So instead of we're looking at maybe 8 for 15, And that's a game you can live with, you know? So we were very selfish with our shot selection. And that's one thing me and Vandals talked about to the guys is that we don't have to do everything. Each guy just needs to do his part, you know, and let somebody else create for you sometimes, you know, and just be ready to score. So I think we'll get back to that. So that was one of our big problems on Saturday as well.
How's practice looked this week?
It's been good. It's been good. Guys responded. I remember Monday. Just the energy was through the roof. I mean, and it wasn't one of those rah-rah things. I mean, they came back Tuesday and Wednesday, and guys were diving on the floor, taking charges at practice. I mean, it was one of them things where it was like, look, CNCC is about to get it. You know, I mean, it's nothing personal to them. They can thank Snow for this. You know, this is Snow's fault that they're about to get it. So I think the energy was great and the focus is good. And we'll have a good one today as well.
Well, I mean, I guess when you go back and you look at the fact that you guys were undefeated in conference play, seeing how the kids are going to respond after a conference loss, it's good to have that question, I guess, 2 weeks into the season, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you have to lose a game, I mean, we lost to Snow. It was a great opportunity, but you can't fight yesterday's battle. So what we're trying to do now is say, all right, so we were 3-1 the first round. Let's try to go 4-0 this next round. You know, let's learn from what we messed up on and try to beat CNCC again and beat Slick again and beat CSI again and then get our revenge on Snow. So I think we're good.
Still in a great spot. I mean, it's 3-1. 3-1 looks a lot better than 1-3. I mean, this team's in a great spot still.
Absolutely. It looks way better than 1-3.
Well, we'll go back to Coach Vando. Coach, tomorrow, Colorado Northwestern. This is a team that gave us a battle the last time, and it was here at the BDAC, and we're talking about a team that only had 6 guys at that particular time. You and I have talked a little bit about that. They had a 5-point lead at the end of the first half of that game. So what did you learn about Colorado the first go-around that you can try to take away the second time you see this team?
Well, you know, now they're back on with full force, and tomorrow, you know, on their place, they're going to have, you know, the fan appreciation night. Mm-hmm. So probably, you know, the place is going to be packed, you know, the people going to, you know, go over there and support the team. I think, you know, like, you know, Coach Ray said, you know, we had a great week of practice, you know, like the guys, you know, feel that, you know, they could have win, you know, against the Snow, and they mess up. So now, like, we got, you know, get back in track. And but, you know, like, they know that they need to go over there in CNCC and really, you know, throw the first punch and keep punching, because, you know, we know that, you know, like in the past, you know, if you go over there and you take the it's gonna be okay, we know we're gonna beat them. No, you know, that's a hard place to play, and they really, really want you know, beat, you know, USU Eastern. I think we are their biggest rival. And then, you know, that's, you know, every time that we play them, you know, they see an opportunity and say, hey, you know, we can beat these guys. And so, and then, like, we got to send the message really, real early, you know, in the game. And like I said, our guys know that. And I think they're prepared to go over there tomorrow and compete. And then I think, you know, bounce back from, you know, the game, you know, against the Snow and you know, have a great game, and then, you know, the confidence, you know, get back, you know again. And like, you know, Ray said, you know, why not, then we can, you know, this second round go 4-0, who knows.
Right. And I think in talking to Colorado, anytime you have 2 guys go for 25 plus, you put yourself in a pretty good chance, in a good spot to win the game. So talking about Greg Martin, talking about Draquez Harvey, those were 2 guys that did have a lot of success the last go around. How do you limit that this go around, Coach? You know, we'll go to Coach Jones with this. How do you limit that? Again, 2 guys scoring 25 plus.
I think you have to pay extra attention. I think we have to realize that something Condi always says is there's 5 guys guarding the ball. You know, it's not just 1 guy. You know, our help side defense has to be there. But guys just have to be alert, man. You can't take anything for granted. I think sometimes you get into a position where if we say we're focusing on these guys, other guys will think, oh, okay, I get it. I get time off. It's like, no, you have to continue to play defense, continue to rotate, continue to help. But the guy guarding the ball has to take on the challenge at the end of the day, you know, because straight line drives are almost impossible to help. You have to make guys change direction, make guys move. So I think it's a team thing. And I think if guys come in with the right mindset like we've had this week at practice, I think we can guard anybody.
Health-wise, team looks good right now?
Yes. And talking about that, you know, we've been, you know, working in some drills that, you know, like a number 10 gave us, you know, a lot of trouble, you know, like, you know, when we scored, you know, they just, you know, take, you know, real quick, you know, out of bounds, and then he dribbling and, you know, give us some problem because we're not sprint back on defense. We work, you know, like coach, you know, John, you know, he works a lot of, you know, drills, you know, to prevent that. And then we have some a little surprise, you know, then we're going to throw at CNCC, you know, to prevent that too. So I think, you know, this time, like, we are aware, you know, that kid, you know, that he's real quick and try to score as fast as he can. And then, like, we gotta make sure that we need to stop him.
Well, and I've always felt a team with six players is pretty dangerous, right? I mean, and from a coaching standpoint, it's easy. I mean, it's easy. You don't have to think too much about matchups because this is what you have right here. So, to me, anytime you go on the road, you have six guys, you were playing with nothing to lose. And so, to me, Colorado, they could play loose. That's not the case this go-around. It is a little bit of a different story.
Oh yeah, so like you know, I had in the past, you know, six guys.
We had Bubby Johnson, who was a power forward, bringing the ball up the court. So
like you know, it's easy because you know like you said, you play loose, and then like I said, hey guys, you know, we're with six, you know, we have nothing to lose.
Right.
So just go over there and play the game and relax, you know, like, and then put the pressure on them, not on you. So, you know, I think, you know, like CNCC did that, you know, like, and you could see, you know, the guys, like, all raw, yeah, you know, good playing that loose, you know, like, but hey, like, right now with the full force and you know, with the fan appreciation, they're going to have a little bit of, you know, pressure on mm-hmm. them, you know, mm-hmm. like always when we have our fan appreciation night over here, we want to win. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of like a hey man, you know, let's play and let's win, you know, make, you know, fans, you know, like a, you know, happy. But like I said, you know, I think, you know, the guys, you know, we're on a mission right now. You know, they know that, you know, like we didn't play, you know, the way that we supposed against the snow, and then they want to start, you know, the second round of the conference with a big win, you know, on the road at CNCC. And then, like, you know, like, let's, you know, build, and like, you know, we have Salt Lake, you know, next week, you know, Thursday here. It's going to be our fan appreciation night. And then, like, if we win this next two game, we are in a really, really good shape.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, I really appreciate you stopping by the studio again today. We will see you tomorrow in Colorado. I'm looking forward to it. Best of luck, and we'll see you then.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I appreciate that you go with us.
Oh, definitely. Our pleasure. Can't wait for it, Coach. Coach Vando and Coach Jones again of the USU Eastern Men's Basketball Squad. We're going to break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk Major League Baseball. Mariano Rivera became the first unanimous selection into Cooperstown earlier this week. We'll talk about that whole process and more when we return here on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports.
Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Here comes a comeback.
The kid is back on track. We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We've got to talk Major League Baseball. Still a little bit of a lull as far as free agency goes, but get used to it. That's the new strategy in baseball. Wait, wait, and wait. That's the way front offices are going to play this for the foreseeable future. We'll maybe dibble on that in just a bit, but I do want to talk about the latest Hall of Fame voting. And joining us right now over the phone to help us discuss this, we have Steve Bordsteed. He's the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Great friend of mine, great friend of the show. And Steve, it's a pleasure to get you back on today.
Happy to spend some time with you. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. End of the week, and you know, we're getting closer and closer to pitchers and catchers reporting.
Thank goodness. I mean, once this what's this game next week? This super thing they got going on next week. I know that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Hey, that's more an invitation to just get ready for pitchers and catchers reporting, spring training around the corner. You mentioned, of course, the hot stove being a little bit warm right now. Maybe it warms up here the next couple of days. Maybe after the Super Bowl is over, we'll see. But it's a good time right now for baseball to get warming up.
It definitely is. And recently, earlier this week, we heard the announcement of the 2019 Hall of Fame selection. Now, before we talk about that, I do want to throw out there that finally, the unanimous decision is over with. The debate is over. And you can argue that it was stupid to begin with, but it was a relevant conversation year in and year out in the world of baseball. Okay, to me, It's amazing that Babe Ruth and Willie Mays, they were not unanimous selections. It's amazing to me that Joe DiMaggio needed four, count that, four ballots to get into the Hall of Fame. Yet that all seemed like a footnote to the fact that recently we had individuals that people didn't vote for. And I know any time that you send out 400 ballots to writers, there's going to be outliers. There's going to be people out there that just want to screw the system. They want to stick it to the man just to do it. And I think that's where we were at in baseball as far as the Hall of Fame goes, Steve.
And how ironic is it that the guy who does get the unanimous selection, and this is by no means an affront to Mariano Rivera, but it's a guy who pitches one inning a game.
Right.
It's a guy who you barely get to see, you know, during the course of a nine-inning baseball game. And again, this is no offense to Mariano Rivera, but my argument with him being the first unanimous player to get, the first player to get in unanimously, is that it seems to me, to your point a moment ago, that you have to have a certain criteria, not just brilliance on the field over an elongated period of time, but you have to be a reporter's best friend. You have to be the nice guy to everyone. You have to be the non-stickler in the room. So by that rationale, then, Ken Griffey Jr., I have to assume, ticked off three people out of the 440 that voted and three didn't, who didn't vote for him. I have to assume, then, that five people in 1992 didn't vote for Tom Seaver because at some point Tom Seaver must have ticked somebody off. I have to assume that six people did not get along with Nolan Ryan of the 497 that voted in the Hall of Fame in 1999. Six people just didn't like him. But here's where it gets even more bizarre. Cal Ripken Jr., like, what did he do to tick somebody off? Because he's the guy who broke the record that was considered untouchable for decades in Lou Gehrig's consecutive game streak. But let's go even further down the list. You mentioned Babe Ruth, 95.13%. Okay, maybe he was, maybe he ticked off a few people. Honus Wagner ticked off 11 people, arguably still one of the most popular players in the history of baseball. Willie Mays didn't even get 95% when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1979. Carl Yastrzemski, apparently 24 people didn't like him. I mean, we're looking at names like Tony Gwynn. We're looking at names like Hank Aaron, arguably the greatest home run hitter, not named Barry Bonds, in the history of the sport. I get Ty Cobb a little bit, but the ironic part about Ty Cobb is that he's in that 98 percentile. As much of a bad guy as he has that reputation of being, only four people thought, yeah, we're not going to vote for that guy. 222 others did. So if that's the rationale, then just tell me that's the rationale. Tell me that's the reason why. At least if you're going to be that outlier, tell me that's the reason that you didn't vote for was because you got your feelings hurt, or maybe he dropped you for an interview or didn't show up for a press conference or something. Because then at least I know that you are as you are not allowed to be a credible reporter if that was the reason why you didn't vote for Ken Griffey Jr., Tom Seaver, Nolan Ryan, Cal Ripken, George Brett, Hank Aaron, et cetera, et cetera. Greg Maddux didn't get 16 votes.
No, Greg Maddux got, I believe he got like 500 and something. He had the most votes, 555, I think was the number. Most votes anyone's ever received to get into Cooperstown, but he didn't get the unanimous selection. And some of the other names on this list, it's kind of mind-boggling to me. Look, Chipper Jones. 12 people did not vote for Chipper Jones. 12 people said no,
didn't
no
vote
thanks.
For Chipper Jones. 20 people didn't vote for Ted Williams. I have to assume it's because, oh, God forbid, he didn't tip his hat. Are you kidding me? I mean, really, is that what the Hall of Fame is about? And we can get into Roy Halladay and Edgar Martinez and guys like that. We can get into that also. And I don't want to besmirch their careers. They obviously had tremendous careers. But it's ironic that it's a guy who pitches one inning a game. It's ironic that it's a guy who never had, presumably, a bad word to say about anybody, that's the guy who gets the unanimous selection. I'm happy that it's over. I'm just surprised that it was him.
Well, when I look at it, Steve, to me, it kind of goes back to the Heisman voting, and I know several Heisman voters, and they refuse to vote. They refused for a very long time to vote for a freshman quarterback. Refused. They have refused in the past to vote for a defensive player that is not involved in returning punts on special teams. There's certain criteria that these voters, these writers, they refuse to vote for certain players. And to me, it's asinine. I don't understand it. But I believe that some of that logic applies to the Hall of Fame vote in baseball as well. And when I'm taking a look at Mariano Rivera, it may be a very simplistic way of looking at it. I don't think it hurt that in an era that is just marred with steroids, marred with controversy all the way around, I don't think it hurt that it was a good guy playing for the New York Yankees. I don't think that hurt his chances, Steve.
No, it doesn't. But it does lend the question. Okay, good guys, New York Yankees. We're going to have this conversation exactly 1 year from now when Derek Jeter doesn't get a unanimous selection.
He will.
Because you know it's coming.
He will. He will. He'll get 100% of the vote.
No, he won't.
You don't think so?
Because he had a reputation of being a playboy, and someone is going to be irritated by that. Someone ticked him off. Some smarmy reporter with some crappy newspaper in New York City. He didn't get an interview with him, and therefore, he's still got a vote, and he's not going to vote for him. He's going to come up one short. Someone's going to do it next year. I guarantee it, and it's going to be hilarious, because that guy, if it was going to be any Yankee, wouldn't it be him? I mean, wouldn't it? I mean, arguably the greatest Yankee of that generation.
Well,
him.
I see where you're coming from. The reason I say we're going to see 100% a lot more now, once that barrier's broken, then you see it more and more often, right? Again, it's like the freshman getting votes for the Heisman.
Baker Mayfield, right. Tyler Murray, you see that. I'd love to see the defensive player. I would argue that there's been several in the Heisman voting that don't get. You can make the same case for NFL MVP.
Sure,
I mean, you can make the case Aaron Donald should be in that conversation. You can make that case, I think. And you're never going to get, there's not going to be a serious push for Aaron Donald for net most valuable player in the National Football League. You're never going to see that with a 7 foot tall center right now in the NBA, unless your name is LeBron James or James Harden. You're never going to see that. There are certain parameters that need to be broken. I'm glad that Mariano Rivera finally got it broken. I hope it continues because, again, it should have been broken years ago in the Hall of Fame balloting.
Okay, let's talk about some of the others that got in. You and I were going over it. Roy Halladay. Here's the problem I have with Roy Halladay. Through 2019, 131 players have been elected by the BBWAA to get in. Should Roy Halladay be one of those 131 players?
I'm not trying to paint the role here of a bad guy here, but I'm going to. This is a guy who spent 1 year in Major League Baseball when he was 4-7 with the Toronto Blue Jays and had an ERA of 10.6. And you're telling me that everything was just rosy after that. I get it. You know, a couple of no-hitters, a couple of perfect games. That's great. Are we not buying into a little sympathy factor with Roy Halladay? He had 203 wins, 105 career losses. Again, two perfect games. That's great. I get it. Are we not playing into a sympathy factor with Roy Halladay? Which, okay, that's cool. You know, we had the sympathy factor when we broke the rules a little bit in Major League in the Baseball Hall of Fame with Roberto Clemente. Roberto Clemente had 3,000 hits.
Well, different story. There's a different story there with Roberto Clemente. Now, I see where you're going with this, and I think, yeah, maybe we do tap into it a little bit, but I also believe it has to do with the fact that there's so much controversy. There was never any controversy around Roy Halladay. I don't know, Steve, if he's a Hall of Famer, and I've always had this mindset. If you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. I don't care if it's first ballot. I don't buy into the first ballot. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? Is he a second ballot? That doesn't matter to me. If you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. And typically, those who get in on the first ballot, they stood out among the rest. And I just don't know that Roy Halladay did that for me. I really don't. I think he went to, what, 8 All-Star games? I know he's got 2 Cy Youngs, one in each league, one in the National League with the Phillies, one with the Blue Jays, if I'm not mistaken, correct? So, I mean, looking at it, it's close. It's 85%? Well, that's
it,
a little high.
Again, the perfect games, I get it. But the first 5 years of his career was spent with an ERA that, you know, I mean, the first 5 years of his career, until he had the 19-7 season back in 2002, this was a guy whose ERA was hovering around 6. I mean, and again, he had a great second half of his career. He turned it around. He had 220. We had three 20-win seasons. One season with 19 with Philadelphia, World Series champion. That's great. I'm not gonna try and badmouth the guy, but I am gonna say that it does seem a little bit ironic here that in a year in which we're mourning his loss and everything like that. That was the guy who was a little bit on the fringe to me getting into the Hall of Fame.
More so than Edgar Martinez?
I don't have a problem with Edgar Martinez simply because I think the pool has been a little bit diluted now, right? I mean, Edgar Martinez was on the list for, I believe this was his last year or third to last year as far as voting was concerned. He was going to get in because at some point in time, the Veterans Committee was going to put him in or someone was going to put him in. But I do fight back on the idea that the Hall of Fame can also be asterisked as the Hall of the Really Good, because it shouldn't be. Unless you just want to make it a museum, then make it a museum and don't worry about the parameters. Just change the parameters and tell me you're going to change the parameters, because it shouldn't be the Hall of the Really, Really Good. The Hall of Fame is supposed to be hard to achieve. In the history of Major League Baseball, 2% of every player that has ever played baseball is in the Hall of Fame. 2%. I think of every game you've ever watched, think of every game you've ever read about, and think of every game you've ever heard about. 2% of the players that have ever donned a Major League uniform are in the Hall of Fame. And I would argue that there's, of that 2%, I would argue there's about 20% that don't belong.
It's a fair argument. It's a fair argument. Like I said, I believe we have 131. Is that correct? Is that the right number?
Yes.
131 that are in. I think when you take a look,
there's 20 at least. I could make a case and go, maybe not.
Let me throw a guy out there whose numbers jumped. And, Steve, I don't want to make this about political talk, but I'm going to throw it out there because you were talking about good guys that are media-friendly getting the votes, and that's why Mariano Rivera got 100%. Let me throw another name out there to you. If you put Roy Halladay in, you have to put Curt Schilling in. I think you have to.
I think there's this idea that the minute you speak on politics, regardless of what side of the aisle you happen to represent, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the parameter that's being set now. Curt Schilling, the tweets, Curt Schilling, the radio appearances, Curt Schilling, the political voice of a voiceless group, whatever the hell you want to call it, Curt Schilling hurts himself every time he logs on to Twitter. He hurts his chances. And, you know, there is one side of the fence that says, oh, well, it's a conspiracy by the left wing. And then there's another side of it that says, Curt Schilling, shut your mouth because you're hurting yourself. And both sides are completely correct. There is a problem because, again, if he's not the nicest guy in the world, we're not going to vote for him. But if he is the nicest guy in the world, does he have the numbers? Yes, he has the numbers. Yes, he belongs, but he hurts himself every time he speaks. He hurts himself every time he tweets out a conspiracy theory or some far right-wing conspiracy nut job theory, if you want to call it that. Whatever your side of the aisle is, everything he does hurts his chances, whether you believe it's a conspiracy or whether you believe it is just him hurting himself.
Steve Bordstein, he's the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Every weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Fox, AM 1340, 93.9 FM. The show is also available on the iHeartRadio app, downloadable to your smartphone or wireless device. It's called First Sports every weekday morning, and it's available through our website at foxsports1340.com. Jordan is a regular guest on the show. We'll be talking, I'm sure, next week, doing a little Super Bowl preview for his favorite L.A. Rams. We'll also be covering a lot of Super Bowl stuff throughout the week next week, and certainly as we get closer to baseball season, Jordan and I will be talking a lot more frequently about that as well. And I also host a horse racing show called The Fast Track, presented by Sunray Park and Casino. That airs weekend mornings, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, 10 a.m. Eastern, also available on the iHeartRadio app. You can also feel free to follow me on Twitter at Fox 1340 AM.
Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on. Great insight as always. We'll do it again soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend.
We got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll of Favors, takes it strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're back to put the final touches on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Got to thank Coach Vando and Coach Jones for taking out the time to join us. Always fun to catch up with both of those two. And, of course, Steve Bortstein. Fun conversation with baseball. Could have spent the whole hour talking about the Hall of Fame talk. We didn't even get into Barry Bonds. We didn't get into any hot stove talk. None of that. But it is a fun topic to have nonetheless. Do not forget, coming up tonight, Emory High School basketball. 6:30 is when the live pregame coverage will begin. You're going to hear from Cade Brazier and also Coach Todd Jeffs as we gear up for action tonight, and then tip-off is set for 7 p.m. On our sister station tonight, KRPX 95.3, the Peak, the Carbon Dinos will look for their second consecutive win as they go toe-to-toe with Providence Hall. And then tomorrow, I'm back at it, more play-by-play for you. We'll be in Rangeley, Colorado, as USU Eastern continues their conference season against Colorado Northwestern. You have a terrific weekend. I will catch you back here in the Auto Forum studio Monday. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.